Arguably, the most popular book in the 19th century was written by Victor Hugo, a Frenchman. And the book goes by the name of Les Misérables. Most of us are familiar with the story. It's been popularized via a Broadway musical and several movies. It's a very poignant story. It's a very fitting story. Les Misérables, French for the miserable ones. And it really strikes to the human heart, because every human heart has some element of misery, of wretchedness, of dread. And so we can associate with the different characters in this novel by Hugo. Jean Valjean, the protagonist, who steals a loaf of bread and is sentenced to the galleys. He serves years as a slave, and then he keeps trying to escape his misery, and then caught again. And he ends up serving 19 years as a galley slave. Imagine the misery that his soul endured for reaching for that loaf of bread when he was hungry. 19 years of hard labor. And then, of course, when he is finally released, he can't hold a job. He has to show his papers. He has to show his credentials that he's now a freed slave. But he has a mark on his soul, a mark of misery. And so he can't find work, and he's loathing and wallowing in his misery. And then he finds himself to a rectory in a small village in France, on the doorstep of a kindly bishop. And as a side note, this was a contentious time in the church, and Hugo was no professed Christian. But he wrote about this kindly bishop because he thought none existed, but that this were the kind of cleric that should exist. And so Jean Valjean encounters this bishop who brings him into his home, who feeds him, who welcomes him, gives him a bed to sleep in. And what does Jean do in his misery? He robs the bishop. He's laying there in bed, and he can't think of anything but still stealing the silver on which the bishop served him dinner. And so in the middle of the night, Jean Valjean, in his misery and in his wretchedness, he grabs the silver, wraps it up, and flees the bishop's house. And he's caught. After 19 years as a galley slave, again, he's caught in a crime. He's standing there in his misery, and they bring him back to the bishop's house and say, "Look, bishop, we caught this criminal stealing from you." And what does the bishop do? He shows him mercy. He says, "Oh yes, he took the silver from my house, but he forgot the finest part." And the bishop runs back into the house and grabs the two silver candlesticks, and he hands them to Jean, and he says, "With this gift, I have bought your soul for God. You, in your wretchedness and your misery, could not get out of this on your own, but I purchase you for God with this great act of mercy." And this is really the story. It's not a story of misery so much as it is a story of mercy. But they're related words, misery and mercy. Even in the English language, we can see a connection between these two words. But when you look at their origin in the Latin, they're so connected. Misery and misericordia. The only difference is the addition of that cordia, heart, that in my misery, I need a heart. I need to touch a heart if I'm going to find the remedy for my misery. If I'm going to touch something that's going to lift me out of my wretchedness, I need a heart. And this is what Jean finds in the story. He finds the heart of God through the heart of this kindly bishop. And then later in the story, he himself is able to offer that same mercy that had touched his life. When he offers it, it's rejected. But still, Jean, who had been touched by mercy, was now compelled to show mercy. And this is the great feast of divine mercy that we celebrate. Each of us, in our misery, in our wretchedness, our unworthiness, has been touched by a heart. It's what we see in the gospel with Thomas. Thomas, who wasn't there on Easter evening when the rest of the disciples encountered Jesus, wouldn't believe. He said, no, I have to touch the nail marks. I have to put my hand in his side. I do not believe. Thomas chose for that Easter week to stay in his misery and his unbelief. But then 8 days later, on that Divine Mercy Sunday, our Lord appears again, and he looks Thomas in the eyes, and he says, Thomas, put your hand in my side. Touch my heart. Probe my mercy. And when Thomas does this, his life changes. And he cries out, my Lord and my God. He goes from unbelief to belief, from misery to mercy. And it was through the heart that Thomas was changed, just as Jean Valjean was changed, just how each of us are changed through the heart of a Savior. But you may wonder, how do I touch Jesus' heart? How do I probe his mercy? I can't put my hand in his side like Thomas. Well, the first way is to encounter his mercy through sacramental confession. And maybe you've been away for a long time, or maybe it's only been a week or two, but you've been trapped in your home and you have 15 new mortal sins. Jesus wants you to touch his heart. Jesus wants you to probe his mercy, to receive sacramental absolution, to touch the heart that bled for you. Saint Faustina writes in her diary that the greater the sinner, the greater right he has to my mercy. This is what Jesus says to Faustina. If your sins are great, who cares? The greater right you have to Jesus' mercy. This is the primary way that we touch his heart. And then after we've received that absolution from the Lord, after we've touched his mercy, there are other ways to continue to touch his heart. We hear a laundry list of them today in the Acts of the Apostles, that the early church gathered together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. These are great ways to continue to touch the Lord's heart. Opening the scriptures, reading the apostles' teachings, studying your faith, taking a daily time of prayer, gathering in Christian community in your homes. These are the ways that we continue to encounter the heart of a merciful Savior. This is where your misery can be transformed. This is where you can reach out and touch a heart that will bring you mercy. And so I invite you to receive this mercy. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we'll have a time later in the parking lot at 3:00 here at St. Jude of the Lake. Come and touch the heart of Jesus. I'll be hearing confessions during that hour. I won't be able to hear 3,000 of them, but I'll hear as many as I'm able. And as you sit there in your cars, gazing upon our Eucharistic Lord, begging him for his mercy, know that his heart still reaches out to you. His heart still bleeds for you. His heart still welcomes you into Holy Communion, the communion that will save your soul. And so today, brothers and sisters, let us bring our miseries before the Lord. Let him transform you, that his heart would be enough for you, and that you would receive his mercy.